And there's a reason why he calls himself the Son of Man about five times for every time he calls himself the Son of God, because he doesn't want you to get some weird religious concept that you couldn't do what he does unless you were Jesus, the actual Messiah, the actual God man, or you were the pastor, or you were the... No. He came that we all might receive the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Bless the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for all that you do in the earth, for all that you do in our lives. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We invite you now, Holy Spirit, come and dwell amongst your people. Brood over the troubled waters in our lives. God, bring order, bring peace, bring your joy. In the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn in your Bible to the book of John, the 16th chapter. Thank you, Father. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Christianity is impossible without the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you. It's impossible. There is no Christianity. Because there is no Christ, there is no understanding of the kingdom, there is no conviction of sin, there's no opportunity for repentance, there's no power of demonstration in the gospel as Christ has commanded. Without the Holy Ghost, it ain't happening. So it's very important that we understand the purpose of the Holy Spirit. But first, and today we're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. When I hear people talk about the Holy Spirit, and I hear them talking about him like he's a power. Now, does the Holy Spirit have power? Absolutely has power. But when you talk about the Holy Spirit like he's a power, I'm just going to go plug into the Holy Spirit. No, you're going to go plug into 110. You're not going to plug into the Holy Spirit. He's not a power that we can manipulate. He's not a power that we should covet to do what we want to do. We should surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit and allow him to do what he wants to do through us. He's not a power to be used. He's a person to be loved and to be known. He's the third person in the Godhead. He is an individual, unique, identified. We'll talk about that in boundaries. God himself has boundaries. And he set himself up as three distinct personalities, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Each one of those distinct personalities has distinct responsibilities in the earth, and they all abide within those responsibilities. But the Holy Spirit is great. John 16:7 says this, "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, that is, it is good and expedient and advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby." What are all those words in the Amplified Bible? Those are all the different ways that the Holy Spirit is translated throughout the text. Hebrew is a very pictorial language. English is a very brief language. We enjoy brevity. We like to be concise. This is a pictorial language. It doesn't translate well unless you really exegete the meaning in the picture that's there. So this is all the things he said. Really, the most common, though, he's called often the counselor or the comforter, but it's really advocate. He's my representative in the earth. How many people know that that's not the only person that has that commission? You and I have that commission. How is he going to commission us to be like Jesus? When's the last time you raised the dead? Don't say when you got out of church, got out of bed to go to church this morning. It was a lot like raising the dead, but that's not what I'm talking about. How are you going to do that without the power of the Holy Spirit? How are you going to be Jesus? And you're not. That's just it. You're not. Not saying you don't love him. Not yet, anyway. Okay, let's go further. He said, "It's more expedient if I go away. I will send him to you. to be in close fellowship with you. He didn't say, I'll send it to you. He said, I'll send him to you. I think the real question is, what comes up here is, it's better for who? Because you got to imagine, and if you get the devotional, I've already covered this, let me cover it again. You got to imagine, you've been walking in the footsteps of Jesus. One day you were just a greeter at Walmart. You were just a fisherman. One day you were just a tax collector. One day you would, and then all of a sudden, from nowhere, this prophet comes into the land. And he claims to be the Messiah, and he calls you into his inner circle. How many people know that'd be a life change? And so you drop everything. You leave your family business. You leave whatever you were doing. You step aside from your income and you say, I'm going to live by faith. And you begin to follow Jesus for 3 years. And in your mind, you're thinking like all the rest of the Jews, this guy is going to dope slap the Caesar for us, and he's going to restore Israel to its own sovereignty. And they all had these plans for what the Messiah was going to do for them. And then all of a sudden, this Messiah, who's made you one of the most popular people around, you're now in the inner circle with one of the most sought-after faces on the planet, says, by the way, it's best that I leave. Excuse me? You do know I quit my family business to follow you around, and now you're leaving? Well, I'll go with you. Now, where I'm going, you can't follow. Hold the bus, Gus. I followed you. You said, you know, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Now you're leaving. And how is it better for me that you're leaving? Anybody ever wonder that? How stressed out those guys must have been? How's this even better for me? Well, that's the primary problem, isn't it? The disciples still wanted to know what was best for them, not what was best for the kingdom. It was best for the kingdom that Jesus go so that the Holy Spirit could come. It was all about, God could have just killed Jesus in heaven. You understand that, right? He could have just crucified him up there, and then we'd have got that to our account, and everything would have been good. No, he had to come down as a living human being, as a man, live as a man, very God, very man, at the same time, so that when he was crucified, he would make a way for very man to receive the Holy Spirit as he did. He intended for us to minister just like he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody says, well, Jesus did miracles. Of course he did miracles. He was God. But he was also a man. And there's a reason why he calls himself the Son of Man about 5 times for every time he calls himself the Son of God, because he doesn't want you to get some weird religious concept that you couldn't do what he does unless you were Jesus, the actual Messiah, the actual God-man. Or you were the pastor, or you were the... No. He came that we all might receive the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. He gave him freely to all who what? Obey him. What is the prerequisite to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? It's the cross. If you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. If you seek to find everything in this life, then one day you'll lose it because you're going to die. Don't look shocked. We all die. Nobody gets out of here alive. If all you've got is what you've got here, then you're dancing like a happy sailor dancing on a sinking ship. This life is brief. I'm telling you, I cannot believe that I'm a 60-year-old balding man. It seems like yesterday I was in the army, and yesterday I was chasing this hot chick around, and yesterday I had kids under my feet, and just like that, it's over. One thing the Holy Spirit does, if you'll ask him, he keeps your mind on eternity. But is the Holy Spirit really a person? Let's settle this, the personhood of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go fast, so you can jot these down. I don't suggest you try to flip through your James'eth here, because we're going to be going pretty quick. Acts 8:29, the Spirit speaks. I said the Holy Spirit speaks. He said to Philip, go in Acts 8:29, go over and walk beside the carriage. He spoke to go to this specific person at this specific time. Acts 13:2, one day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work which I have called them to. Who knows your purpose in the earth? The Holy Spirit knows your purpose. Who appoints you unto that purpose? The Holy Spirit appoints you unto that purpose. The Spirit teaches and he reminds. John 14, 26, but the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything I've told you. Who's the greatest teacher in the world? The Holy Spirit. We can become gifted teachers as men and women, but for people to get it, I know a lot of people, they have a lot of God right here, but it never makes that 5.5-inch trip down into their spirit. Knowledge puffs up, the Bible says. That's not bad knowledge that puffs up. Good knowledge puffs you up if it makes you operate independently of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. He's the author of this book. Men wrote this book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly what he's saying in these scriptures. I tried to read the Bible before I was saved. It was like watching paint dry. I mean, good Lord. And Isabeketh begetteth Husafatheth, and they winneth over thereeth and diddeth stuffeth. And I'm like, what is this? This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. How can this be a world-time bestseller? And then I got the Holy Spirit. And that book just came alive, man. I started reading that thing, and one little paragraph, whole concepts would leap into my spirit. My mind became illuminated. What was that? That was the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you struggling to understand scriptures? I thought the King James was the most accurate Bible in the world. Forgive me, I was young and ignorant. Forgive me twice if you're old and you still feel that way. Anyway. But I asked the Lord, help me understand the King James Bible, because I believe this is the most accurate Bible and I want to read the most accurate Bible. And it is a good Bible, don't get me wrong. And I picked that book up, and all of a sudden it was like all the these and thous weren't a problem anymore. The Holy Spirit actually helped me to read that Bible clearly and understand it. He's good. And he'll teach you everything. Say everything. You know what that means in the Greek? Everything. The Spirit makes decisions. Acts 15, 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these few requirements. I like how they pigtailed onto the Holy Spirit. Seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us, of course. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. You know what that means, quenched? The word in the actual Greek translation there means to extinguish, to snuff out, to take and pinch a candle, to put the fire out. Picture this: you're watering your garden. You want to walk over to the other side and water the other side of your garden. You bend the hose in half. There's a flow. There's something coming out. There's something moving, and then you do something to stop it from moving while you walk around to the other side. That's the picture of quenching. Now, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, I'm going to tell you. He's a perfect gentleman, and he honors your free will. Your free will is sovereign to the Holy Spirit, just as it's sovereign to God. God never made anybody do anything, right? If you can't tell God no, your yes doesn't mean anything. If you can't say no to the Holy Spirit, your yes doesn't mean anything, because you're not a free moral agent created in the image of God. You're a religious automaton. You're a robot, right? He's a gentleman. So when he comes to you and you're doing something that's wrong, or let's say you're doing something, you say, I think I'm going to go do this. And the Holy Spirit checks you on that. And you go ahead and just do it anyway, you're quenching the Holy Spirit. He's trying to communicate to you, and you're saying, I don't want to hear that right now. Anybody ever have kids with selective hearing loss? Anybody ever have a spouse with selective hearing loss? Don't raise your hands. Oh, too late. I don't want to do that right now. So we quench. We stop what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. And we think, well, you know, he'll convict me again. We take him for granted. What happens when you take people for granted? They don't stay around in your life very long. What you honor, what you love, what you steward comes towards you and multiplies. What you ignore, what you don't care for, moves away from you. They don't spend much time in your life. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And we continue anyway. We justify what we're doing. We're quenching the Holy Spirit. We're just telling him, listen, I don't want you to talk to me right now. I want you to talk to me when you'll agree with me. And that way, you're producing Holy Spirit in the image of you think. Because pretty soon, you hear this little voice. Bad news, cupcake, it ain't the Holy Ghost. It's a deceiving spirit. But now he's your Holy Spirit, and now you've got a problem. Because only the Holy Spirit can really convict of sin, and only the Holy Spirit can convict of righteousness. The Holy Spirit prompts you in the store, hey, go over to that person and tell them you've been praying, that God's heard your prayers, and he's going to touch your husband. I ain't doing that. What if I'm wrong? And the Holy Spirit withdraws, because that's what he does. But he's going to not come to you over and over again and give you opportunities to share Christ with people if you're not going to obey him. Yeah, but what if I make a mistake? Then just say you're sorry. I'm sorry. As I walked by, I really felt like the Spirit of God spoke to me that there was something you were praying about, and God just wanted you to know he hears your prayers. But if I've offended you, please forgive me. That was not my intention. And then go get your peanut butter and crackers. Not a big deal. But what if you're right? What if, like Randy said, somebody's crying out to God for a sign, and then some wackadoodle walks up to him in Walmart and just tells them exactly what it is they're thinking about. That's what a word of knowledge is, and a word of knowledge comes from the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you this, listen, I feel like the Lord told me. That was a word of knowledge today that Karen had about somebody with a broken heart. I'm telling you, and don't freak out. Like God's going to have you go and just start telling everybody words of knowledge. But what he'll do is he'll give you little tests, little baby steps of obedience. And as you obey and begin to get confidence in that and faith grows in you, then he'll give you more opportunities to operate in that gifting. It's like a guy gets on a bus and he's like, Lord, I love you, but I just haven't led anybody to Jesus in years. And I don't know what's wrong with me, God. If you really want me to lead, then send me somebody that I can share Jesus with. And the next stop, the door opens and a guy gets on. He sits down in the chair and he goes, man, I just wonder what this is all about. Is life even really worth living? Is there more to what we see around us? Is there any deeper truth that I could know to give me peace in my heart? And the guy leaned over the window and said, Lord, if this is the one, turn the bus driver into an armadillo. No, you don't need to turn the bus driver into an armadillo. You just need to obey. Well, they might laugh at me. Listen, if that'd kill you, I'd have been dead a long time ago. We quench the Holy Spirit when we diminish his personality and speak of him as though he were only an abstract power or divine energy. We quench the Holy Spirit when we suppress or legislate against his work of imparting spiritual gifts in the church through them. Imagine if Karen came up and said, I believe I have a word from the Holy Spirit. And I said, we don't have time for that today. I've got to teach on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's probably like, were you raised by dingoes or something? I mean, We quench the Holy Spirit when we despise prophecy. We quench the Holy Spirit when we resist conviction. We quench the Holy Spirit when we legislate or instill fear in the hearts of people regarding legitimate experience of heartfelt emotions and affections in worship. I'm pretty liberal about what I allow in worship here, and that I want people to feel free to worship God. If it becomes such a spectacle that I feel like it's distracting from the worship of God, then I might ask him, you don't have to stop juggling the hula hoops. Just go stand in the back and juggle the hula hoops or whatever it is that you feel is your expression. But I believe we shouldn't be one of these things where if you say amen or you get excited or you shout or you laugh, everybody in the church stares at you for like, what's wrong with you? This is church. You shouldn't be happy. The Holy Spirit works through our emotions. I said the Holy Spirit works through our emotions. We are to be people of passion. I think Christians should be the most passionate people on the planet. Life more abundant. Passion is attractive. It attracts people when they see someone who's passionate. I can see somebody doing synchronized swimming, which to me is a lot like watching paint dry. But if I see that they're passionate about what they're doing, and it's obvious that these guys, they're just in it to win it, I'm drawn to that. Maybe for 5 minutes. Then I'm going, I can't take anymore. But the passion of that is drawing me to. And it draws people. People ask you, what does the Bible say? And when they ask you, what is the hope of your, what's the source of your hope? That's the way the gospel's supposed to work. It's not you're supposed to be going, do you know Jehovah? You know, here's a track about you going to hell. Yeah, no, it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be that people look at you and go, who's your daddy? Come on. People used to look at me in the store and they go, who's your dad? But that wasn't the same thing. They were like, somebody, whoever spawned this, contained this, okay? But they want people to look at us and say, who's your father? I'll tell you who my father is. He's the loving God who created the heaven and the earth and the universe. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the Lamb of God. He's the risen one. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. Come on, Jesus. He raised the dead. He healed the blind and the deaf. He parted the sea. He rebuked storms. He took a loaf of bread and fed 5,000 men and their kids. That's my God. Come on. People ought to be asking us, dude, where do you get that nuclear power you're living on? It's called the Holy Ghost. The Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30, when people aren't allowed to, I believe, worship, that's grieving to the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 4:30 said, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. He's put the name of Jesus on you. He's given you his name. Did you ever have one of your kids? You're kind of like, oh. Whose kid is that? I don't know. I think he was raised by dingoes. He's not my kid. Not me. I don't have any kids. No. Yeah. We can grieve the Holy Spirit when he says, I'm yours and you're mine. And I'm with you and I'm going to fill you. And then we do things that grieve him, contrary to what we know his will would be. I would encourage you to have conversations with the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you not to do it in public, unless you want to take a time out. I have been caught talking to the Holy Spirit in public. You know that as you look over and four or five people are going, I've been having conversations with the Holy Spirit in my car, driving down the road, nobody in the car but me, burp and excuse myself as though someone was sitting with me because the reality of the fact that someone was sitting with me was so real. But I encourage you, when you realize that you're doing something that's grieving the Holy Spirit, just stop and say, I'm sorry. More marriages would be happy if men and women would just say, I'm sorry when they do something stupid. I never do anything stupid. Apologize for that. That's called lying. The Spirit can be outraged. You don't hear that too often, the outraged Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:29. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled the Son of God and treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God mercy to us. Jesus said this, I'll forgive anything you say about me, but if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, there is no repentance for that. Why is that? Because when you say the only way by which I may know the will of God, which is to know what is sin and what is not sin, what is sin? Sin is anything that defies the standards God has set upon his creation. Doesn't matter what I think about it. Doesn't matter what you think about it. Doesn't matter what all the elders get together and vote on. Doesn't matter what's popular on television. Whatever Jesus says is not the standard, is not the standard. And to deviate from that standard is sin. And there is a consequence for sin. So when the Holy Spirit begins to do something and you say, that's not God, that ain't this, I ain't doing that, I ain't doing that, you should be really careful, because God is expressing himself in the earth. And what you're doing is you're saying, okay, God, shut up. I know what needs to be done. I know what's right and I know what's wrong, and I don't need any spirit or anybody else telling me what to do. And you know what? He'll let you. That's the scary part. And if you do it long enough, he'll turn you over to it. Well, I don't have any worry about that at all. You've probably already been turned over. It's the people who come to me and say, I think I might have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I always tell them, no, you haven't. How do you know? Because you wouldn't care. You wouldn't even care. You'd be cold as a mackerel. You'd be cold as one of those massive steelhead I caught. Yeah, I threw that in there. I needed it. I just needed it. The Spirit can be lied to, Acts 5 and 3 and 4. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not as you wished, and after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. Yeesh. The Spirit can forbid human speech or plans. Acts 16, 6 through 7. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the sea of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. The Holy Spirit. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia, but again the Spirit of God would not allow them to go there. God has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. What will does he have? God's will. He searcheth the mind of the Father, knoweth all things, and transmits what the Father is saying to us. He has a purpose and a reason. Well, I don't like that. It's not about you, Cupcake. It's about him. We weren't going here. You know that. We were going to Siberia. We like Siberia. We don't like the winter so much, but we like Siberia. We speak Russian. We enjoy the culture. We ministered there for 30 years. The Holy Spirit said, no, don't go to Russia. Go to Whitney. Let me see. Siberia, missionary, unreached people groups, business as mission in North Korea, or Whitney? Guess what? I'm having more fun in Whitney than I would have had in North Korea. I never thought I'd hear myself say that. But not only does the Holy Spirit know where he wants you to go, but by the way, he knew where he wanted you to go before you were created, before the foundation of the earth. So when you find yourself, I said not when you plan it, because when you plan it, it don't work. When you find yourself in the perfect will of God, you are happy, happy, happy. As the swamp people say, it makes you happy, happy, happy. You're happy. You're content. You find a contentment you've never known before. You're also not getting up every day saying, gee, I wonder if I did the right thing. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting you not only of your sin, but he's convicting you of the rightness of where you are and what you're doing. If you don't live with that surety, I want to invite you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. I'm inviting him into your lives all the time. You mess around and come into agreement with that, we're going to have something here. The Spirit is the one who apportions, or he searches, excuse me, everything in God's thoughts, as I was just saying. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Lord, what do you think about this? Holy Spirit, what does God think about this? Ask the Holy Spirit. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. You can worship the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Godhead. The Spirit proportions spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides what gift each person should have. Do you want to operate in spiritual gifts? I encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Holy Spirit, show me what gifts you have, you want to place in my life, and how you want me to operate in those. And then when he begins to operate in those gifts, don't quench his Spirit. Begin to learn to yield to his Spirit. The Spirit helps us and intercedes for us in Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's will. And if you're in harmony with God's will, you know that he hears you. And the Bible tells us if you know that he hears you, you know that you have that which you ask. If you have a lot of unanswered prayer, I invite you to invite the Holy Spirit in to get in the middle of your prayer life, because he's going to keep you in the center of the will of God as you pursue that truth and that with a willing heart to obey. I was in LaPlace, Louisiana, near New Orleans, and I had to drive up to Hammond. It's about a 30-minute drive. It's all on this big bridge over the swamp. Everything's over the swamp or in the swamp down there. And as I was pulling out, I had a little headache. But I don't get headaches anymore. I have faith for headaches. And that sounds funny, but I just got faith for headaches as I was a fairly new believer. Whenever I got a headache, I prayed and the headache would leave. So I hadn't had a headache in a long time. So I got a headache and I said, man. So I just began to pray in tongues. I didn't know what I was praying about. I thought I was just trying to get rid of my headache. In about 5 minutes, my headache went away. But the Holy Spirit said, don't stop praying. Well, that's strange. So I kept praying. And every time I go to quit, the Holy Spirit would say, don't stop. And I drove all the way up the road, 35 minutes or so. And as I pulled in the parking lot of the hospital I was working in that day, the Holy Spirit said, okay, that's good. And as soon as he said that, the phone rang. And Paula was on the phone. And for the last 35 minutes, she had been on the phone with her sister, who was in a really tough spot in her life and who was crying out to God. And she shared, and at the end of that conversation, she led her to the Lord. Who knew that? The Holy Spirit knew that. The Holy Spirit knew that. I'm praying. I think I'm trying to get rid of a headache. I don't know what I'm doing, which is about half the time. But it's okay. I trust the one who's leading me. He knows what I'm doing. Some people look at me sometimes, what's your plan? I don't have a plan there. What are you going to do with that big bus? God only knows what we're going to do with that big bus. But I know this, we're going to do something with it because God gave it to us and told us to get it. We are going to take it for outreach pretty soon in Pittsburgh. More to save the dates, more to follow. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us even when we don't know how to intercede. He bears witness to believers about their adoption. Romans 8:16, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Do you struggle with your identity? Do you struggle with your worthiness? That's everybody. One of the first spirits that entered into human beings, demonic spirits. Yes, there are demons. One of the first demonic influences to enter into the life of human beings in the garden after sin was rejection. For the first time in his life, Adam hid from God. He felt shame. And he felt shame over nakedness when there was no such thing as clothing. That's why when we say someone is lost, we mean they're lost. They're lost to ball and high weeds. They have no clue until the Holy Spirit comes and quickens their dead, sin-killed spirit. They have no idea of righteousness. They have no idea of good, of evil, of sin, of God. If you struggle with your identity, ask the Holy Spirit who you are. And he'll take you to the Word and he'll begin to give you his promises about your life, because you have been given, the Bible says, all things. Everybody say, all things pertaining to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. All things. Ask the Holy Spirit, because you need a new identity to get a new reality. And once you get a hold of who you are in Christ, you stop worrying about what everybody else thinks about you. You start drawing some boundaries around your life. I'm responsible for what I do. I am not responsible for what you think about it. That's a boundary. Well, I think you're nuts. You're not in this circle. Two people are in this circle. Well, four, if you count it. Me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we think I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And we're going to be together forever, and you don't even look too good today. So what makes you think I give a flip about what you think about me because I know who I'm in Christ? Doesn't mean I'm arrogant. Doesn't mean I don't love people. It just means I'm not just frantic to know what everybody thinks about what I'm doing. Let me post a picture of my bologna sandwich on Facebook. Now, let me check every 5 minutes, see how many people like my bologna sandwich. Billy didn't like my bologna sandwich, but I locked his burrito yesterday. How come he didn't? You know, oh, my God, get a life! Oh, look, the cat's sleeping. It's a miracle. Get a picture. No, they sleep all the time. Okay, wait, I'm all right. Hold on. I'm okay. Let me just calm down here. Okay. The Spirit bears witness to Christ. I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father, and he will testify about me. He'll testify to you, and then he'll make you a testimony. Everybody say, come, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit, come into my life. He glorifies Christ, and he declares it to the believers. He will bring glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. He can be quenched. We already talked about that in Thessalonians. That's 1 Thessalonians, you know, that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. It's easy for me to say. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. We quench the Holy Spirit when we decisively, when we rely decisively on any resource other than the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say this. God's not interested. That's not the right way to put it. He's interested, but he's not going to tell you you should buy the red car and not the blue car, because the red car stands for the blood. That's called super spiritual hooey hooey. Now, I have had the Holy Spirit tell me don't buy that car, but it wasn't because there was anything wrong with the color. It was because there was something wrong with the transmission. I sure wish I would have listened to him. He cares. I mean, he cares about that. He cares about stuff like that. But he's not going to tell you, you know, how many times to brush your teeth. Dr. Tim will tell you that. He's not going to tell you all that stuff. There's things inside the circle that you're responsible for. There's inside that little boundary of self, those are things you're responsible for that you don't need the Holy Spirit to come in and tell you this and that and everything else. But he will speak to you. And when you just make decisions and you don't even consult the Holy Spirit, that quenches the Spirit. That grieves the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you. I got a job offer in Cleveland, okay? So here's the first thing we do. How much does it pay? Then we ask our wife if she wants to go. Yeah, we went to the money before we went to the wife. And then we say, well, dear, get a company car. This is the way most believers that don't make decisions, they make a cross. That's the only thing they ever come close to Jesus. They make a little cross, and then on the left side of the top, they put benefits. The other side, they put disadvantages, and then they put some stuff on this side. They put some stuff on that side, and they go, oh, this would probably work for me, or this wouldn't work for me. How many people know that's not lordship? That's okay, God, I'm about to make a major life decision. And when it doesn't work out, I will be coming back to you questioning why it didn't work out and also asking you to bless me in my disobedience. Are we clear now, God? Okay, see you soon. Love, your name here. How about Holy Spirit? Is this an opportunity? I'm going to tell you, before every opportunity in our lives, two things have always come. One, an opportunity to be offended. Always. And that's the test of your character. Do you have enough humility in your life to obey God in this thing without destroying the ministry or destroying yourself? Somebody will offend you. Somebody will do something bad will happen to you. You'll have an opportunity to defend yourself or to die to yourself. That's one. And the other thing is a counterfeit opportunity also shows up. And sometimes it's one and the same. When we ask God, okay, Holy Spirit, before I get all excited about this, because, you know, once you've read the brochure, you've test drive the car, then you say, okay, Lord, do you want me to buy this car? I didn't hear a no. That's like the guy in front of the Dunkin' Donuts, right? Lord, if you want me to have 3 dozen donuts this morning, as I circle the block, let there be an empty parking place. And did you know after only the 25th time around, God opened up a parking place? Yeah, that's not talking to God. Turn to John 17, 21, 23. I'm going to close with this. I pray that they will all be one. This is Jesus talking to the Father now. This is crunch time. This is the end game for you Avengers fans. This is Jesus. He's about to leave his disciples. I remember getting on a train. Remember that? Chebuksari, Russia. We had been living with these people and crying with these people and growing with these people and preaching and going through trials and persecutions, and we've just been living life together 24 hours a day for 3 years and 2 years and something, and suddenly we were leaving. I'm thinking, God, I don't know how. It's like having a baby and then just laying it down and walking away. And the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit fell on all of us. Kristen was there, fell on Kristen, fell on me, fell on Nathan, everyone. And we just wept and wailed. I mean, it sounded pretty wild in there for about 2 minutes. And then the burden of that ministry lifted off of us and we felt peace and joy. Jesus is right there. He's about to go. All these knuckleheads that he's been hanging around with that he loves but also frustrate him dearly. He's about to leave these guys and he's talking to his Father. He says, I pray, God, that they'll all be one just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I'm in you. And may they be in us that the world will believe that you sent me. The Holy Spirit is the one that made them in us. He's the one that made him in the Father and the Father in the Son. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes you and the Father one and you and Jesus one. And you can always tell someone who's really learned to yield their life to the Holy Spirit because they're very difficult to offend and they don't ever quit. I've never left anywhere I've been sent all my life. I've never gone anywhere without a pastor's blessing. I've never bowed up and voted with my feet or my checkbook because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do that. I've wanted to pop a couple of guys. I mean like this, not pop a couple of guys. And the Holy Spirit said, that's just your flesh. You need to repent. He said, why did he say to do all this? So the world believed that you sent me. The unity that you and I can express to one another in Christ, regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of background, regardless of all the things that divide all the peoples of the earth, they should not divide the man or woman of God. There is no male or female even in Christ. We came out of the bed, we died with Christ, we were buried in the waters of baptism, and we came out new creations in Christ. I have Scottish heritage, I have Southern, I have all these heritages, but I'm not a hyphenated Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to have these experiences. First and foremost, you're my brother or you're my sister in Christ, that the world might know when they see the love that we have one for another, that we are the disciples of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't just kind of look around, but don't stare at that one that aggravates you in here so bad, because there's bound to be somebody in a room this big that aggravates you. Don't look at me like that. Look around. The Holy Spirit can give you love for that person. He can give you love for that person, that we might be one, because the place of unity is where the anointing comes And it's where the blessings, God commands a blessing in that place of unity. You know why it was exciting to be out on the street corner, more exciting with 36 people than it is to be out there with six people? Because there was unity. More of God's people got up in the morning and said yes to Jesus and no to their flesh. And I realize some of you couldn't be there. Don't be under condemnation if you couldn't be there. That's not my point. But my point is, where more people were surrendered and obeying the Holy Spirit was free to move. I believe we touched more people yesterday than we've touched in a long time because of the Spirit was so, it was very different than any time I've ever been out on the street. And I've been doing pro-life work for 30 years. It was different. I've never felt it so festive there. It was just amazing what God is doing. And that's in unity. And you know what? We ought to enjoy that blessing in everything we do. Every outreach, every Celebrate Recovery meeting, everything. We ought to know that joy. We ought to know that anointing. That we might be one as the Father is one. Let's stand up together.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you in your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services. And here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.